The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Orla Hegarty, Assistant Professor of Architecture at UCD, is on the line. Orla, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, Orla, you've been looking at all the guidelines this morning about indoor dining, and I think your bottom line is you're saying this is not going to work.
Well, I think, firstly, we got some legislation during the week, which is really about people having either been vaccinated or prior immunity in order to go into pubs and restaurants. So that's the rules about who can go indoors. And it has an exemption for children, so it doesn't put any protection in there for under 18s. What came out last night was guidelines from Fáil to Ireland about how premises are to be operated. But it's important to point out that they are the guidance, they're advisory, and the actual regulations around that are due to come out tomorrow, it said. So we haven't seen yet how any of that might be regulated. But it would seem far too late if they're coming out on Sunday for places that are opening on Monday, if there's any changes to be made.
Okay, so what are your issues around it? What are your issues, Orla?
Well, the issue is that we know now how this virus transmits between people and we know how to prevent it. The only way that we can get through the winter is to keep the R rate under one, so that places can open and stay open. And the way to do that is to target the places, and we know where they are now, where we get a lot of spread in certain conditions. We can measure those conditions and we can stop it happening. What's happening here, though, is another reopening like we had in December, where controls are put in that aren't scientific. So they might seem to be doing something, but they're not actually targeting prevention. So there isn't a prevention plan in place here.
There's a prevention plan in the sense that everybody going in, every adult going in, will enjoy some level of immunity. It's not like December in the sense that two-thirds of the population are vaccinated. Does that not make it a completely different story?
I suppose it's a matter of wording. What I mean by prevention is preventing people getting infected in high-risk places. Vaccination will help you fight the virus if you're exposed and if you become infected. It doesn't block people becoming infected in the first place, and it doesn't block them spreading it on. The vaccines that we have at the moment are a very good protection against serious illness and hospitalisation, but they don't block people becoming infected. So people can, who are vaccinated or have been had COVID before, if they go into a high-risk environment, they can become infected again and they can pass it on to other people in the room, including children who will be there without any protection. So I think people have misunderstood maybe what the vaccines do. They don't prevent you becoming infected. They help you to fight.
I would have thought they do provide, like, they do provide a certain level of protection against infection, don't they?
Which we know
is lower than the 90%. And they then do provide protection against serious illness, symptomatic illness, hospitalisation, which presumably is why we want to stop COVID, is to prevent all those things.
Well, no, the vaccines are great and everybody should get vaccinated when they're offered. The point is that vaccines alone can't do this. We need a prevention plan in parallel for the people who have low immunity, for the people who aren't vaccinated, and for children. And that's nearly half of the population who need some level of protection. And going into the autumn, if we continue to have high risk environments, we will continue to have outbreaks.
So what are we missing?
The key thing is to prevent the outbreaks. I mean, we have rules for food safety. We have rules for clean water in premises. We need rules for clean air, so that when people go indoors, even if somebody infected comes in, they might infect somebody at their table, but they won't infect the whole room.
Okay.
And at the moment, we don't have the proper level of PPE for staff who are working in these premises, and we don't have controls in place to make sure that the air isn't infected. And we know that in certain conditions, that can infect very many people within a very short space of time. And restaurants and pubs are particularly high risk because people stay for a long time and they're not wearing masks.
Yeah, no, the hospitality industry will argue that they have been scapegoated, and that actually, if you follow the information from the contact tracers, there weren't a lot of outbreaks in these situations. But the reality of it would seem that that's probably just that they're not being traced back there, but that worldwide we have seen that this is an issue. So listen, you're not impressed with the, is it carbon monoxide monitors that all the...
Carbon dioxide monitoring. No, to be honest, I'm totally in favour of having all of these businesses open, as I have been been saying since last October, and promoting ways that they can stay open. The difficulty now is that they're opening with unsafe rules again, and it would be really unfortunate to see them have to close because of that.
Okay, and the key piece that is missing here, you're saying, is the ventilation piece and the air circulation.
Ventilation and filtration, yeah. It's about measuring the air and making sure that it's clean so that when people come in, either to work or as customers, they know that they're not going to go home infected.
Okay, so would that require, Orla, it would require a fairly big job in most places, would it, to put in, like your regular air conditioning doesn't possibly do that, does it? It would need specialist machinery.
It doesn't necessarily need work in every building at all. We need to go out and measure it. In the same way with food safety, we know that most places are very compliant and have good systems. I would imagine there's plenty of restaurants and pubs out there who could meet a standard, or who could meet a standard maybe with some reduced occupancy, or with changing filters in their system or opening more windows and doors. So I think it's wrong to think that everybody needs a large amount of work. Some places will need work, clearly. Some places might need reduced occupancy. But I think it's in everybody's interest that if there's a clear standard, the places that need work can target to have that done by September or October, and the places that are safe now can be open now.
Okay. Now, on a related but separate issue, you were tweeting yesterday, can we please stop talking about indoor dining and focus on schools and childcare? In 5 weeks, schools will be back with thousands of new cases a day, Delta variant twice as transmissible, and there's no protection plan for 1 million children. Can you expand on that for me?
Well, I suppose schools are the same problem in that they are places where people congregate. They share air. That air can build up over time. And if there's an infection in the room, it can pass to everybody or a large number of people in the room. So thankfully, schools have been given funding for CO2 monitors for September, which is great. It means they can control things better than they did last year. But there isn't a plan in place for what happens if they find unsafe conditions. So some schools might find they have a high occupancy in some classrooms. They might find that it's in a sheltered place where they can't get good ventilation. They might find that they have corridors or locker rooms or staff rooms where they can't get good ventilation. So they need a backup plan then in terms of providing them with filtration. And cheap filtration units can be bought from €100 and plugged in. And that could be a very good solution for maybe special needs classrooms, for creches, for break rooms for teachers. So there needs to be a backup plan beyond just measuring the air quality. We need them to have a follow-through.
Okay, but I think that's important. You're saying that you can put in, for £100, you can just buy a filtration machine that you plug in and put in the room, and that would help a lot, yeah?
It would, and that's an option for restaurants and pubs as well, where they may not have very good ventilation. There are lots of low-cost solutions available, and HEPA, it's called HEPA filtration. These kind of filtration units could probably do a whole classroom for €400 or €500, could do a restaurant for that kind of range of cost. May not have to be run all of the time, but certainly would give a lot of reassurance to customers.
That absolutely makes sense.
Because it's low tech, they can be DIY'd. It's a basic fan with a good filter. So basically it's pulling the air from the room through it and picking out any particles that are in the air, including the virus.
Do you think as things stand at the moment, with the way we're planning to open schools, are we going to face like a version of the pingdemic that they're seeing in the UK? As in, like, is Delta going to run riot in schools, do you think? And are loads of kids going to be at home as close contacts and whole classes out and stuff?
Well, based on where we know we are at the moment, without any changes for indoor dining or travel, we know that we will probably have 6,000 cases a day by the end of August or somewhere up in that range. That's the level we were at in early January when the decision was made to close the schools. So it's not a good place to be going back into schools. We know that this variant is twice as transmissible, and we know from evidence in other places what's happened when things have opened uncontrolled. There's already talk in the UK of having to reintroduce restrictions just 5 days after they removed them. And we can see, we can learn a lot from other countries that have opened.
Okay, listen, thank you for your perspective on all that. Professor Orla Hegarty, Assistant Professor of Architecture at UCD. Let's take a break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.